Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by Gale.
Gale is a gay ale brewing cloudy apple cider made from 100% pink lady apples and a pale ale with light tropical and passion fruit aromas.
Visit galebev.com.au and use code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout for 10% off.
That's galebev.com.au and use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
The Gays Are Revolting is supported by supersimplecards.com.
You can buy cards in packs of 6, 8, 10 or 12, all blank, all ready for your heartwarming message.
They work out to be around $4 a card, which is basically theft.
Basically. Get a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with 10% off your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTIQA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And follow us on all the social medias, The Gays Are Revolting on Facebook and at Gays Revolting on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, hello, Boyles. How are you all?
Good evening, Tom. Welcome.
We've got a bit of a weird week this week, listeners. We are joined by most of our regulars. We have Luke.
Say hello.
Hi, I was just making sure you got my name right.
Yeah. myself, Thomas Jaspers, and we've got Kyle.
Hello.
But we're not joined by Mikey.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Mikey is a bit sick. Mm. He's under the weather. So I brought in my comedy partner, who I do a lot of performing with, whose name is also Kyle. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Confusing.
This is not going to be confusing at all.
But I've worked it out. Don't worry, listeners. I've worked it out. We've got two Kyles. One of them we're going to refer to as Twinkie Kyle.
Fuck. Thank you.
Oh, don't complain about... No. No, definitely not you.
Definitely not.
Twinkie Kyle. No. As Luke and I can contest to, embrace your twinkiness while you can, because you'll still be embracing it.
Far too hairy to be a twink.
It goes away. I was hairy when I was a twink.
And you'll be embracing it in your mid-30s when you no longer have it, so embrace it now.
I will not.
And we'll be referring to Kyle Manal as no longer twinkier Kyle.
Yeah. Am I past a twunk now?
You are past a twunk.
Mm. What's a twunk? Wait,
you're a twas-been. Twink is the current...
It's like Pokemon Evolution.
It's like
twink, twunk, and then
dead. It's the past tense of twink. You're currently twinking. You were twunking.
This podcast, to me, so far, all I know... There's a few things I know. One of them is that most stories end up with Tom plugging something of his own.
Yeah, often. Yeah,
or like going back to a story about himself. And the other thing is now this podcast is a lot like public transport in Victoria, where Mikey's on the way out. Thank you.
She's come with material. I love it.
I just thought of that.
It's bring your friend to work day.
I think that's the first main thing we've said about Mikey.
I know.
Mikey's
a golden child. Really? No one will touch Mikey.
No, go
obviously
for it.
The new guy. Let's evil make- Kyle. Oh, I'm good Kyle. That's evil Kyle. I'm happy that's with that. It. Okay, I'm done. I'm a little bit wine drunk at the moment because I came straight from Cork and Cromer in Collingwood.
Oh, yeah.
Work, what is that? Team building thing. It's like you paint a picture while drinking wine. We all had to paint the same picture. Cockatoo. Oh, no, wait. It was a galah.
A galah.
Yeah.
A cockatoo earlier, yeah.
And the colours, for those of you that are watching this podcast, you'll see that the colours of the painting are really beautiful. Talk us through that a little bit.
I don't like this guy. You need to take him back.
Sorry. Forget about it. The colours are nice.
No, I opted to do a different colour because, you know, not everyone wants the same stock standard.
No.
Like, hush.
No, that's
same
right.
Thing. I went with a blue glow instead of a pink one.
Yes, it's very different.
Tom and I had a drink before this recording and Kyle messaged us and said, oh, I have to carry this painting to the bar. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And Tom and I we sat had a there chat. With our drinks and said, our definition of embarrassing is so different.
Yeah, to I literally have shat myself at a gay bar before and had to get a tram home with shit in my pants. And you're going, I'm so embarrassed walking around with this painting of a blue galah.
You put things
you did choose blue. That is embarrassing, but
yeah. It's not that bad. My thing's worse, definitely.
Non-Twinkie Kyle, or no longer Twinkie Kyle and I had an interesting week. So, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, and I do love a cross-promotion, Kyle and I often dress up as old ladies and host a night called Granny Bingo. We have started getting corporate gigs, don't want to brag, whatever. And we did a corporate gig last week and we got taken to Phillip Island to entertain a whole lot of people that were working and didn't know that they were going to watch some drag queens playing bingo. They really wanted to be there. We got quite drunk because we had free drinks. They got quite drunk because they were at a work thing and got free drinks. And afterwards, we were in the smoking area and this guy comes and he was so bogan. And he came up to us and he goes to us, I fucking love you guys. And we're like in character, oh, thanks, love. You know, really lovely for you to watch us and stay for the whole thing and not leave like a lot of your colleagues did. And he said, you, I love you because you remind me of my favourite comedian. I said, who's that?
It was Rodney Rood.
Yeah.
The most offensive thing you could say to someone who knows how to write a joke. We were kind of like awkwardly laughing, trying to be polite because we want to get booked by this company again. And then he just reached forward and grabbed us both by the cock.
Fuck.
And goes, just checking, because he wasn't sure, because he's never seen
a compliment. You were so convincing.
No, it's fucking not.
That's a compliment.
No, it's very convincing of all, lady. What would happen if you grabbed and there was nothing there? Like, you've just grabbed two women by...
Yeah.
But also, you've just grabbed two men by the dick. Like, that's not acceptable. But we didn't say anything because we wanted to get booked by the company again.
Yeah.
So. We
shut up. That's the best way, is just keep quiet about it. If you want something, just...
If anyone's ever
going to learn anything from this,
doing anything to you that makes you feel uncomfortable, just keep quiet.
It's your real Weinstein moment.
Yeah. Oh. I've had that now. Yeah. I've had mine now.
Popular dating app. You may have heard of it, Tom. Grindr.
I'm vaguely familiar with it, yeah.
They are launching a new campaign to promote inclusiveness against racism and transphobia. It's called Kinder. It's spelled almost the same. I first read it as Kinder, Kinder Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Kindergarten.
Is that
going to go down very differently in Germany?
Yeah, I was like, surprise, you're a racist. I remember when I was on the dating apps and there was a lot of racism and discrimination on there.
Towards you?
No, just in general.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, just from seeing people's profiles.
Yeah.
A lot of people do feel targeted and attacked by people with sexual racism when they're saying like they're not into like Asians or black people or transgender people.
It's a little bit like when they rebrand anything, right? They rebrand it for like a month. Yeah. I can't think of a good example.
Getting rid of plastic bags and then bringing them back again. Getting rid of them again.
Like rebranding that as a good thing to do. I think as much as my cynical brain tells me it is, I think it is. So from what I read in the article, they're going to be changing the logo to a K. Okay. So people think that they have a new app on their phone.
Yeah,
they're going to open it, right? So I think there's a visit share ploy here in it. Yeah. But also, if they pull this off, great, because it's like literally 15 years overdue
for them
to be actioning something here where now I don't go on very often on Grindr, but I still...
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't talk to anyone. They don't talk back to me.
No one talks to you, yeah.
It's gone away from people like, no blacks, no Asians. I'm sure it's still on there. I'm just not on there enough. But I'm seeing a lot more crosses and then the black circle or something. So they're using emojis.
It's gotten down to emojis.
They'll be like, no... There's some really bad ones. They'll be like, no spice, no rice, no fats, no fam. I'm like, these people are so terrible.
I'm two of those four. That's hard.
I would believe it more if they just got rid of the functionality to be able to filter out certain people.
Like, so maybe that was
only introduced a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it would be better if they just didn't have that.
But do you think in the absence of those filters, then people will put that back on there?
Yeah, but if Twitter is now blocking certain pro-Nazi things from being in people's profiles and stuff, like, there's definitely the technology to be filtering out certain phrases and things like that.
It makes me sad. It makes me really sad because there's been a few times where I've realized society's not quite at the level that we feel it is. And it's usually when these positive campaigns start. I remember being back in Melbourne and seeing posters literally advertising to people to not punch each other in the face and kill each other. And I thought, what kind of society where we need to advertise not killing each other? You get these reminders every now and again. And now we have a campaign where we're advertising, hey, just don't be a racist.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking racist asshole.
Don't be a terrible
people.
Person. Mm.
I saw the ads and, you know, you can't say it's a bad thing, but it's sad at the same time.
It's sad. It is sad. Do you also feel like Grindr has almost created this environment in the queer community where it's acceptable to say that? Like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it's not like if someone came up to your bar and started chatting, you would say, sorry, no blacks. I feel like Grindr has made the space that it now needs to fix.
It's like gay people have gone through so much discrimination through history, and then it's like redoing it all again in this tiny app.
And they're kind of putting a band-aid over themselves because they created it. They're the ones that, well, initially created the app, but then introduced the whole filtering out of certain people of if they're not the right race, height, age, whatever, filter them out so I don't even have to look at them. Like, imagine having to look at someone you don't want to talk to.
I think these kind of things have existed way before Grindr, to be honest, which makes me even sadder. But Grindr is one of my favorite places in the world. I think it opens you up to such absurdity, the things that I love in life on a like hourly basis. I play Grindr more than I play Pokemon.
Mm.
But to enjoy it, you need a thick skin.
Fuck yeah.
You need a thick skin. And I think at a certain point, you take stock and you go, you're 32 years old and you've got this really thick skin. And where did you get it from and why do you need it? It's kind of disheartening when you go, it's our own culture. It's the men that have said things to me. I just want an app that has all the functionality of Grindr, but also orders me Uber Eats afterwards and then books me an appointment with my psych for a week later and does it all in one hit and I still get laid.
There might be a market there.
I think you're talking about Craigslist and it's very good and very helpful. Yeah,
that's painted. No one take that.
Can I just mention a little story? We were having a drink at Dr. Morse before and Tom was on Grindr chatting to a boy.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed that we were all crowded around because he sent through pictures and we were all following our own advice from the last episode. We were trying to determine if Tom was being catfished.
This guy was so hot. And I was like, why is this hot guy messaging me?
Yeah.
And so we're looking in the background
looking for PowerPoints to see what country he was in. We're looking for sports things.
Turns out he's just a hot twink with low morals.
So the announcement came after a trans activist, model Monroe Bergdorf, called the company to address all the racism and transphobia. So she added the CEO of Grindr with messages from her followers that she's received on Instagram of abuse and things that they've received on Grindr.
Yeah.
Really bring this to their attention. I think the promotional video for it was audio of people talking about their experiences with Grindr and horrible discrimination that they've experienced, like messages that they've received of racism and transphobia towards them.
I'm so glad she did that, and I'm so glad that they're doing something about it. I hope it has an effect, but I think it would be lying if you said the Grindr wasn't aware of these issues already.
Yeah.
Like, people have been,
I mean, there's whole Instagram pages about
awful people on Grindr. Yeah.
And I think that like Grindr would be aware. They'd get a million reports a day about this. Maybe they've acted too slow to change anything or put something in place. The awful irony of this, and the same thing with marriage equality and the same thing with parental leave and societal changes that come through like this, right? Corporates are kind of, to a point, responsible for causing that. So we just talked about that with Grindr.
Yeah.
Before Grindr existed, this wasn't so prevalent. We didn't talk about people saying no blacks on Grindr.
You couldn't screenshot what was the literal conversations that were happening.
And call people out. But then the tricky thing is that they're kind of responsible for fixing it or doing something to reverse the damage that happens there.
True.
Mm-hmm. So if they take too long to do it, they're going to get attacked. If they don't do anything at all, they're going to get attacked. And probably if they do something, they're not going to do it right. But that's the weird irony. I hope to God that they're going out to more and more of the people that have reported these say what is the right course of action here instead of just saying this is the right course of action and we're going to change our name to Kinder instead of Grindr.
Yeah.
I find it funny that they chose the name Kinder, because I feel like as a community, I actually said it to you, Kyle, when we were at the bar, and I said, the only reason I make fun of you is because I like you. You know, and I feel like the gay community, we show each other our fondness for each other and our love through our witty, cutting remarks in our repartee. And if I've got a good read for you, it means that, like,
how we bond.
I got some time for you. So I think it's a weird kind of kind.
It's a funny thing. And I think it's something that we've talked about a lot, trying to surround yourself with good people from the community, because there are a million. Like, none of us know anyone that would post this kind of shit on Grindr. None of us in this room. And if anyone listening does have friends that post this kind of shit, fucking get rid of them, because they're not the kind of people that you want in your life.
I found it so disheartening, though. While I was reading this article, I clicked on the comments underneath.
Oh, never don't read the comments.
I made that mistake. So many people were defending it. They were defending themselves, being like, oh, if I'm not attracted to this, why should I have to do, like, and they were trying to justify their racism. And like, it was just so fucked. I was like, is this where we are? Like, that we've become this kind of, I don't know. It was just, I hated reading. I had to, like, close the tab, because it was...
It's been like that for so long, Kyle. Like, that's the messages we've been getting since the moment we downloaded that app, you know, or when we first
glad
came out.
I'm not on there.
So, to spin it a bit more positive, I feel like the community itself is actually full of some wonderful people.
Now, we've been going for a little while on this podcast, and we've been reading your inboxes.
Oh, my God, have we been reading your inboxes?
There's some very flirty messages to certain people on the podcast.
Is it me? Do they know about me yet?
Yeah, it's you. They preempted that you were going to stand in for Mikey.
Not a single one. People have said, I like Thomas's voice. No one has said that they want to have sex with me. That's fine.
Because I already have.
Probably. Thank you, Kyle. But it's got me thinking about, you know, the way that they're wording it, and, you know, that kind of, like, snide thing of, like, yeah, I like how interesting Luke is. I like how smart smart Mikey is. I like Thomas's voice. And Kyle, you're not too bad either. And that kind of, like, Instagram-y, flirty way of wording stuff.
Like,
which has got me thinking about the Instagram flirts. Are you guys Instagram flirters?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Maybe in the past.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Twinkie, I know, Kyle.
Twinkie Kyle.
You have lots and lots of... How many followers do you have?
Don't make me say it. It makes me sound so, like, lame.
You know it down to the...
No, it's like, okay, it is not a lot. It's like...
Now say your handle so that you get more.
No, I just post cat photos. I'm really lazy.
Yeah, but how many have you got?
Like 11K?
11K.
It's nothing. Oh, okay,
all the other gay, it takes, like, up too much time.
Okay, for Kyle. No, it literally, it's Monopoly money.
But that's a
it
lot. For a standard person, that's a lot. So I'm guessing... We're all standard people.
Wow.
I'm guessing... That you get a few flirty...
Yeah, no, it happens. There's, like, a whole lot of back... Like, I'm so happy when Instagram introduced that, like, you have to approve the message requests thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few banked up in there of some terrifying serial killers. But,
hey, listen, send them over to me, because I would be thrilled.
But I am really enjoying all the podcast stuff. People are like, oh my gosh, listen to your podcast. Yeah, loving it, nice. Laughing. Some guy was like, oh, I'd love to take you on a date, give you guys something to talk about. I was like, oh my God.
Do it for the podcast.
Talk about where the hell's Kyle?
Do it
Kyle?
For the podcast. I'm like, oh, I have a boyfriend, but I'll do it for the podcast. Do it for the content, guys. I'm just trying to be selfless here.
Yeah, whenever I get like a... Instagram flirt, which is not often, but I always find it funny because I think back and go, through the history of this podcast, I don't think I've told a single story that hasn't painted me as a extreme sexual, like, deviant.
Offender.
A sexual offender.
Yeah. So is that your fan base now?
That is like... Yeah. I don't think I've told a positive sex story on this show.
Do they find you through, like, hashtag sex offense? And that's how they...
Yeah.
He's actually on a list. On a list in his community. It's not so much social media. It's more government enforced.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the little bracelet tweets for me.
Yeah. It's my location. That is such a good feature.
But I always think I get these messages and go, like, oh, but what story really tickled your fancy there? Was it when I bled on someone's face or when I shat my pants?
That's weird.
You know you're going through.
Which one?
Yeah. I'm really glad that we're talking about this topic while my comedy partner, less Twinkie Kyle, is here. Because, as I said, we host a night called Granny Bingo, and we have a separate Instagram account for the grannies. Wait, we should.
People flirt with like...
No.
Well, I know, but that's
people are into some freaky shit.
Sorry, we actually have had one guy
into granny porn.
We've had three now.
Yeah.
Of people that message and go, hi there, how are you?
Go for old ladies and they're trying to get the money off them and who think that we're actually old ladies.
Who have
like
been
like, you're a gorgeous old lady.
You guys are so convincing as old ladies. People think you're old ladies.
So, I don't think we're convincing, but these guys...
It was like 4 weeks ago or something. I literally was just sitting on my couch doing absolutely nothing. And a notification went through. It was like, you have a message request. So I opened it up and it was this guy. I think his name was like Peter and he was from the US. And he's like,
Peter.
Very beautiful lady. And I wrote back. I'm like, I have nothing to do. I'll play with this. So I wrote back. I'm like, g'day, Peter. How you doing? Love you.
That you read it in the voice that you're talking.
Always. You have to write it in the voice too. And he's like, he goes, you're very beautiful. I have beautiful eyes. I'm like, oh, my left one's a bit dicky. But thanks, you know. But he just kept going and kept talking.
Yeah,
and kept replying.
And then he'd start alluding. And so I'm sitting at my house.
How old was this gentleman?
Maybe 60?
Yeah, he was like an early older. So I'm sitting at my house getting notifications from this. So I'm watching this conversation because we have a joint account for the grannies.
So you're just
and he kept sort of starting angling the conversation towards how much money does Maureen, the character that
Kyle
plays.
You should come to America, he said. Yeah, I couldn't get on a plane.
Yes, and then Kyle brings it back to his dicky knee or whatever.
Oh, no.
But the other thing I love about Kyle and I sharing an account is that, you know, in the Instagram app, you can have two accounts logged in at once. And sometimes you don't, you know, if you've had a few drinks, you forget to look which account you're logged into.
Oh, totally.
And so, you know, sometimes like when a hot guy posts a good Insta story, you reply with like a winky face or a heart eyes face or your ass looks really good in that or something like that. And so quite often I'll wake up in the morning and there'll be notifications on the granny account and Kyle's had a few glasses of wine with dinner and he's like tweeting these Insta thirst traps from the granny's account, sending
that's
like
a weird Instagram
eyes.
Tweet. To like message.
Yeah. And they're going, oh, thanks. Love like, granny bingo.
It might just be a love heart. And they're probably sitting there going like, would my nan send me a love heart if I posted an ass pic on Instagram?
Are they in character or are they drunk flirting 30-year-old men?
Do you guys flirt much on your normal Instagram accounts?
So, techniques for flirting on normal Instagram accounts.
I love when we have steps to take, like last episode.
What are your tips? The only thing I know of, which is probably pretty basic and pretty vanilla, is just going back and liking an old one so it pops up.
Oh, like you purposely deep like them. So you like scroll way back.
Yeah.
That's a
deep not way back, but like maybe last week and find like...
Oh, okay.
I reckon my number one tip is to reply to stories.
Stories?
Yeah. So people's stories.
You
if it's
have
just
to get
at
a
the
notification
beach,
for that.
Because it's recent. It's now. It's like
right
it's
now.
Topical.
Yep.
It's-
but if it can be just like a, great pair of shorts. I wish I could own one of those. Or I'd love to know what's
better
on the floor.
That's the flirt.
I wish I could own those shorts. I wish I could wear your skin.
But if you can flip it some way of going... Great pair of shorts. I wish I could fuck you. Would be
wow.
Maybe too direct.
You know, it would
that's
be yeah.
aggressive.
Yeah.
No, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds better in a granny voice though.
Oh, lovely pair of shorts.
The message from a story is absolutely the best way to go. It's fresh content and they're online.
True.
Yeah. So they're replying.
Yeah. And they get a separate notification, whereas if like 100 people like a photo that they've posted, you're going to get lost in the notifications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, Luke, Instagram is this app.
You know your photo albums. You know the photo albums you have at home?
App is a thing on an iPhone. Okay. A phone.
I'm old.
You know how you used to play Snake?
People don't realize because I look so young in those photos.
You do look young in those photos. I've had a lot of my colleagues have been...
you're the thirst trap of the podcast.
But I see these poor guys and I go, I don't know how to use this app. I don't know how to have sex with you through Instagram.
You're like,
I'm too old. I'm sorry.
There's Instagram. There's also Twitter flirting.
I just had a whole debacle last night with trying to get a fake me deleted off Twitter.
Yeah.
I found out that there was me using all my information, but
in
like
Spanish.
But in Spanish, but like retweeting, commenting things in Spanish.
There's
so.
Actually been people listening to this podcast. That,
apparently,
so Kyle
like Luke was having a whole conversation, tagging me with some other person, and I was like, "Wait, that's not me." What
you I've been sending.
Yeah, my handle.
So it's his handle and his photo.
Yeah,
and
it was linked to my Instagram as well.
People have been saying, "We love the podcast," and this person's been replying in Spanish, saying like, "Thank you." And
I was up late last night. Sending photos of my ID to Twitter to prove that I was me and that's like that
I
other account.
I wish someone would do that to me.
Imagine if it was a Google glitch in their system, and it was automatically just translating stuff because it thought you're in Spain, and then now you've deleted your own Twitter.
No, I've been sending dick pics to that account for the last 6 weeks.
I want the
handle,
but it won't let me take the handle back.
So they stole your handle.
They stole my handle. Now I can't have my original handle, which is everything.
I got kind of attached to Spanish Kyle. I miss him.
Yeah,
already.
I miss Spanish Kyle. Yeah.
Okay, so
what's Spanish Kyle?
I'm the third most least popular Kyle. Like here tonight.
What about bulk liking?
Bulk.
Oh, so when you go into
is that
bulk
needy though? If you're just like, if it's just a page,
you're
going to
get their attention.
It's true.
Wrong attention.
Have you had that? And you're just like, ugh.
When I'm drunk and really desperate, and I'm like, this person just doesn't know that they love me like I love them. I've definitely done the bulk like because I've done like the old. Pick like, I've done the story likes.
Yes.
And I'm like, fuck it, they're not replying. I'm just going to like every single picture in their Instagram. No, I've absolutely I think, done that.
And it's when you start double tapping their front door.
Yeah.
That's real.
No, I think that there was like a method, like in the old days. You wouldn't like-
In the
let's
old
do, like,
days? What are the old days?
The old days are my single limb, like whatever.
The
like,
old days would, are pre-Netflix.
You wouldn't like the most recent picture because that's like too like on the nose. You would find like a wholesome photo and you would like just dance around.
Who
like,
taught you this stuff? Sorry, I'm just
curious. I think it's intuitive.
I think, yeah, it's intuitive.
Yeah, you're totally right because we've never been taught that, but we all know
it. We all do it.
We all know it. We've all experienced it, but it's not something that you learned about. So I'm saving my pennies. Well, I've been saving for a while for I want to do a big trip. And I've decided I'm going to go to New York because they've just opened...
A new sauna?
No.
Sorry.
They don't have many saunas in New York.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yeah, no. After the HIV epidemic, they became illegal and stuff. And they're kind of underground and that sort of thing. But they do have fetish clubs. And there's this big fetish club over there where they have different themed nights and stuff like that. And they've started this new thing where guys go to jerk off together. And it's not like a specifically gay thing. And they've got a lot of straight guys going to it and stuff like that. But I also kind of... I love that this is all of a sudden like a new thing. It's totally not.
Is it a new thing?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Straight guys love jerking off together, I think. Mm.
I saw it on XTube.
Yeah.
All the time.
So believable. Like, so many they have times. A pink triangle tattoo on their chest. Yeah. But you know, I'm totally straight.
Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what, like two straight guys just walk in?
No, so this is like a room.
Parallel play. This and is then a... like leave and like still straight.
What's no, this parallel is... play?
Parallel play. Oh my God, Kyle.
No, it's a room and a whole lot of guys get around together and just jerk off. And it's not like touching each other or anything. It's jerking off. Different porn playing in different parts of the room for guys that like gay stuff or guys that like straight stuff. I think it's kind of hot. And
oh,
I'm
totally.
Into it. I'm totally up for it.
Yeah.
Have you ever jerked off with a straight guy?
I assume most of the time. I'm really into this, but...
They're not aware that you're there.
I'm into guys jerking off together. I don't think the other people were aware that I'm jerking off at the time, and it's why I can't...
It's on the tram.
It's why you're not allowed back at Village Cinemas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's why I'm not allowed within 6 kilometres of primary schools. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've always had something about, like, emotionally unavailable people. Mm. And so the idea of, like, people that jack off together, but, like, completely emotionally detached from the experience and almost resentful towards it, you know, that's my niche in a lot of ways.
Resentment, yeah.
So send me those Instagram DMs, guys.
So in Melbourne, there is a group that does this. And
like really?
Facebook there's group? A night. It's a Facebook group. They all video chat with one another.
Jeez.
There's the Melbourne Wankers. I'm talking about this like an expert. I promise I'm reading this off a website. That they started in 1990.
I was like,
wankers.
I love if that's like a badge on your, like, your barky jacket. Like, oh yeah, I'm part of the Melbourne wankers.
Melbourne wankers.
I feel like a lot of people describe anyone in Melbourne as a Melbourne wanker.
I think it's actually really wonderful because some people will have like a physical aversion to sex, or they get like anxious about being naked around people.
True. Yeah.
Raises my hand.
And there's like, there's a calmness to just jerking off or being in a room next to someone that is.
So the Melbourne wankers do essentially that. They exactly get together and just have a little wank.
Where do they do it? Where do they do it?
It's in Elstonwick.
Do they like rent the RSL?
It's at a thing.
Place with tiles, you know, hopefully.
Thing.
Like, I spend a lot of time by myself and I spend a lot of time masturbating and I've been wanting to make more friends, so maybe I should join.
This is it.
It could be a social activity. Mm.
One of my favourite things to do is to go on their website, the Melbourne Wankers, and read it. I'm not going back into granny voice, but read it in granny voice, because they talk about the type of oil that they have the kind of music that's going to be playing. And what do they play?
I would love to hear that.
You've been reading a lot about this kind.
I've been reading this for years. I'll do a little bit as the granny. Is that annoying?
We also use oil as our lubricant. Grapeseed oil. And our parties are based on its liberal use. Squeeze packs that are usually sauce containers at barbecues are what we use to conveniently dispense the oil.
And you know what? When I'm going to a wank party, I want to know where the lube's coming from. Yep. I want to know what container it's in. I want to know how easy it is to get it
from. What fruit? It's from grapeseed.
Absolutely. That's a concern.
Because everyone wanks differently. I've been with enough guys to know that they all finish themselves off weirdly. And sometimes I'm like,
they're all finishing themselves off, are they? Every single one's finishing themselves off, are they?
I've been in relationships.
Yeah, you heard it here first. The gays are revolting.
Oh my God.
Have you guys ever been to a wank party?
I wouldn't call it a
party.
Have you ever had
that? Just kind of turned
jerk
into
sessions
that.
Where there's no intention of
how many people
touching each other.
Constitutes a party.
Because I think it's great if men can experiment.
Yes.
And express themselves or look into these areas that typical society would prevent them from doing so. Mm. I just want to put a disclaimer that we're not making fun of these men, and we encourage them to do it because we'll also be there.
It's probably
entry.
It's probably a great place to experiment, or if you're not like versed with being with guys, it's probably a great place to be. You're not at any risk of them touching you or someone coming onto you. There's rules around.
So when they say
Wankers.
It's like straight guys walking in, but they're just touching themselves, not the other person.
Just sitting next to someone else jerking off.
Sorry to bring it back to Wet on Wellington, as I always
often
you go to like a sauna or something, and there's the porn room, and there are guys in there that are just like jerking off, watching porn.
Porn room or Kathy Bates room?
Looking at everyone else, but not getting involved in the action. And I feel like maybe for them, that's sort of them going, I know I like dick. I haven't touched dick before. I want to see dick in real life. I'm comfortable sitting in this room watching other people playing with their dicks, but I'm not ready to touch yet.
Would you say a lot of straight people would go to Wet in Wellington? Straight guys? They would just go there and stand.
I mean, it's talked about, so like a lot of people know what it is, even if you're not in the gay community. And if you do a bit of research, like Google.
You don't need to do research when you listen to this podcast. You know.
JB, my best friend, asked me on a weekly basis to take him to Wet.
Really?
He loves it.
And you're straight best friend. Has he gone?
No. Oh. Because I want to get laid. And
You're like, I don't want you watching.
My best friend to Wet on Wellington. But
they have beautiful toasted sandwiches.
Oh my God, can I tell that story? I'm going to tell the story.
Time,
I'm sorry. So Kyle is one of my very dear friends. We've
not
spent a lot of time
the regular Kyle that is part of this podcast. Clarifying,
my name is now Wanker
Senior
Kyle.
Wanker Kyle.
And many years ago, when I was in a long-term relationship, so many years ago, we were at Peel one night, and he said, "Oh, Wet on Wellington started doing these really amazing ham and cheese toasties. Can we go there and get a ham and cheese toastie?" And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, he's using that as like a pun, you know, I want a ham and cheese toastie." So I texted my boyfriend at the time and said, "Oh, Kyle wants to go to Wet for a quick, cheap fuck. And he wants company. Can I go there? I'll hang downstairs while he goes upstairs for the sex." My boyfriend said, "Of course, go." Kyle and I go there. We paid our $25 entry. We got our towels. We went to the locker room. We got changed. We went back to the bar. And Kyle orders two ham and cheese toasties. Disappears for 5 minutes. Evidently has a wank. Comes back. We have our ham and cheese toasties. And I said, "Well, you can go upstairs now and have sex if you like. I'll wait down here." And he goes, no. I had the ham and cheese toastie. That's all I came for." So we paid $50 entry between the two of us, plus whatever it cost for a ham and cheese toastie and my bottle of Amel.
So the one in New York is called Paddles. And so the similar one in Melbourne is a fetish club or a sauna anyway. So it's a sex-related venue. And we've got places like that in Melbourne more broadly as well. We've got places where people can go comfortable and just be nude. Mm. We've got people that can go in leather fetish and that's there's a night at least that services that community. So I kind of feel like it fits in within that.
So I've never gone to a commercially advertised group for this, but I've absolutely been at like come down parties after a big night where, you know, it's just friends that you don't want to have sex with, but you all start getting a bit horny and start talking about whatever and the porn comes out and then there's three of you sitting on the couch jerking off. Have we not all done that? You're all looking at me like
okay.
I'm just starting to remember where I know you from.
Oh. And also my best straight friend in high school and I, and the reason I came out to my parents, we used to spend every second night at each other. So like we'd spend one night at my house, one night at his house, and we'd sleep in the same bed. And I knew he was straight and he knew I was gay. But we were like 16-year-old boys who were interested in their bodies. So we'd wake up in the morning and we'd be talking about our dicks and holding them up under the doona to see who's looked like who's.
Casting shadow puppets.
You know, has anyone grown half a centimeter in the last few months? So yeah, I think it's a completely normal thing that straight and gay guys do together.
It's socializing a habit. Or not, yeah. Not even a habit. It's like an instinctual.
It's something
thing
that we do six times a day.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's something that you do very regularly that you always
six
do.
Six times on your own person or six times like
when you've got work, when you're busy, yeah. Six.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it is something we do really, really regularly and it's kind of fun and like a bit sexy to do it in front of other people when you're not having sex.
I stay away from like straight questioning people because I'm like, I just need to let those people just figure out themselves because I don't want to be tested on.
Kyle, we've met your boyfriend and he's a...
No,
he's a farmer from the country.
Okay,
I've never met anyone more straight questioning than your boyfriend.
That is a complete... an utter lie.
He's lovely. But
when you had Grindr, did you have that on there? No straight pretending people. Did you have that
no,
on there? You're one of those people.
I've been on dates and things like with that, with people who were newly out or stuff like that. It just became exhausting because like you're just their test dummy. And then leave you to go figure out what they actually want. So I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't have time to help people figure out what they want. They figure out what they want and then I will give them some time.
Well, there's one love of my life, everlasting love of my life, which is JB, my best friend, heterosexual male. And like, he's that type of guy that when we rock up to staff parties together, we go to each other's Christmas parties, and everyone assumes we are together.
Mm.
But I think you just know, like, with actual heterosexual men, you know when it's off limits and it's not worth investing in it. If they're on Grindr or if they're at a jerk-off party, you've got a chance.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, if you're ever at a jerk-off party, remember to use Gaze Revolting at the door to get 10%.
And please write it on the toilet
door entry.
On your door entry. But heterosexual men are fun. That's the next frontier for gay culture is, you know, we're trying to accept each other and learn how to be respectful of each other.
Let's recruit.
But let's share our experiences with heterosexual men because they are intrigued and they're on board.
Yeah.
And they don't know who we are as people. Mm. And when they do get to know us as people, they fucking love it. Mm. And they are our best mates and they're so loyal. The most support I've ever gotten in my life has been from JB, a heterosexual man. And he would go to a jerk-off party with me.
And he'd be like running around slapping people on the back, be like, good for you.
He was upset the other week when we went to Honcho. We all went to Honcho for post-recording drinks and we were talking about the dick pic swapping that happened last episode and he got upset because he realized that he and I have never seen each other hard.
Yeah.
We've only seen each other flaccid.
Details.
And we were like, what is our friendship? This whole friendship is a fraud.
Did you?
Not yet. I want to get a really good one. I want it to be special.
That was a good one. You had a nice dick pic, Luke.
I'm thinking for Christmas.
Pop it in a frame.
Oh, my God.
Do something really
just
like nice.
A pop-up. Yeah. Like, when you open it, it's just
when you go to each other's family Christmas. I don't want to burst your little hetero dream of JB, but just going back to our chat about social media, we did go to Honcho with him last week for the first time. He added me on Facebook the next day.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone back and liked some pics from several months ago. He's liked a lot of my pics. So
He is the best... social media friend you could ever have. Anyone listening also.
Yeah, I think he might just be gay and not attracted
JB,
to you.
JB, what the fuck? I didn't receive any likes. I'm so offended.
And I've been part of this podcast for like 15 minutes and I, he's not added me.
Yeah, no.
Check your phone. He probably is.
Gay men don't like Kyle. So.
I was at a party on the weekend and it was a typical situation where there was no other gay guys there. Even the girls were not gay friendly. You know, when you kind of, you know, when you go into like one of those like super straight situations and you go, there's just an anxiety that kind of sets in going, I don't fit and I'm making it worse because I think I don't fit. Everyone was super lovely. But I didn't have the girls to go and escape to where I'd usually be like, oh my God, I love your boots. And then it starts and I can be friends with them, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know sorry, I mean? I don't think I've ever said that.
Oh, it opens doors for you. Start.
Oh, my God. Doors. That's how my mother and I start conversations.
Yeah. It'll be like, that's how my mother and I met.
Just popped out the womb. Oh, girl, I love your boots.
They're actually stirrups, but yeah.
But admit, like within probably 15, 20 minutes, one of the guys that I work with came over and he said, he goes, oh, Cole, this is my friend Sean. And I said, hi, Sean. And then Sean's like, oh, so you're like a comedian and he was telling me that you're gay as well. That's really cool. And then that started the whole thing. I'm like, Jesus, where am I? Get me out of here immediately.
Yeah.
But within half an hour, we were inseparable for the rest of the night. And he's one of those guys that you were talking about as a straight ally. But I didn't even give myself the opportunity to go, maybe he's one of the automatic straight allies that I don't need to try and convince.
And you assume because he's got a certain persona on him that he's like, oh, I find you threatening. But he's actually a really lovely
He still did the, when did you know you was gay?
He might be at one of these jerk-off parties. I think.
I hope so.
The thing, one of my favorite stories about JB that he'll probably be embarrassed saying is that we went to high school together. We've been friends for like 15 years. And there was a period in high school where I wasn't out and I wasn't really my true self, which was probably a benefit to a lot of people I went to high school with. But I remember we met up and we were having a conversation like years later about my homosexuality and about the time that I was in the closet. And I don't know, I think it's sad on my side, but I felt like some need to apologize. And I was like, look, I'm sorry that we had like years of friendship where we weren't really open to each other or like weren't on the same level of honesty and that I was like holding something back. And he looked at me, straight man, dead in the eyes. And he was like, I actually feel really bad because I feel like there were years that we were friends and I didn't really know what you were dealing with. Mm. Or how I could have been like a better friend to you. And that is in suburban Adelaide where people, we went to a high school where we saw people getting hit by fucking chains and teachers got bashed by students, you know, and he
said, is that why he had to leave Adelaide? Because he was beating all those people up. Yeah. He's bashing the shit out of people.
To complete my education, I had to go to Melbourne.
And were you expecting him to feel lied to because you weren't out at school?
Yeah. You feel that need of like, oh, I kind of kept something back from you. And the response I got back is, no, I feel bad because I wasn't able to support you as you
didn't, like, pick up on it,
for those amount of years.
Did you take your shirts off then? Or?
And then we started kissing.
And then right. A wank session.
I don't know if it's the 3 months I spent locked in Tom's basement, but I have a strange, like, affiliation with North Korea.
Oh. Yep, that'll do it.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated by North Korea. I watch documentaries about North Korea. I don't know if Dark Tourist goes there.
I'm obsessed with Dark Tourist.
Oh, we were chatting about this before. At
No, they haven't gone there yet.
Okay. No. Dark Tourist, the...
so good.
New Netflix documentary series, but there's a Vice documentary where they go to North Korea as a similar concept as like a tourist visiting. Yeah. But it's something I'm constantly thinking about. And
the only outside of North Korea people visiting inside North Korea story that I'm really educated about is that, you remember that American student that like got in on he saw the flag and then he got arrested, tortured and killed. And I was fascinated by it because I hated both groups of people. Like, I was like, you're a racist little fuck, but also North Korea's fucked, so you're both fucked. I'm not glad he died, obviously. It was very sad. And
did he end
thing.
Up dying? I didn't
No, it was really weird
because he got released back to America and then he was like in a coma
and he ended up dying.
They tortured him.
So that's really the only thing I've watched intensely of people from outside North Korea going into North Korea and coming back out again.
It's fascinating. And I get all of my information from Uber drivers.
Yeah, apparently.
That's my, like, number one
source.
Yeah,
that's how I know which McDonald's is open.
So I was talking to my Uber driver the other night, and I was like, what is it like to be an LGBT plus person in North Korea?
Was he Korean? Who was
gay? I was just
a straight white man.
You were just asking.
Like, that's very, very niche.
What drugs do you want? I want them.
You're like, excuse me, Harold.
How do you?
What
do you think it's like? I was just from asking. Experience.
What insight did he have?
He didn't know, and it made me realize. It made me realize we don't know. Nobody knows.
But especially him.
Especially him. But you do a Google and you realize this is a sad but also fascinating part of our culture as people that we're kind of not really aware of or really discussing. So if you do a Google, you can see some stories about one guy. He is the lead gay for North Korea because he's the only one that...
The guy that fled and escaped.
Yeah. There's one guy.
Oh, I thought you meant there's one guy in North Korea. I was going to say, well, he's brave.
I think there's more.
There's more, but there's one guy that's left and is talking about it. And his name is
Jan Yong-jin.
He's like the supreme of North Korean gays because he's the only one people
he's
know
the Kim Jong-un. Of gays in North Korea.
He's the Beyonce.
Get him on Drag Race. Yes. So we just haven't referenced Drag Race this episode. I had to reference.
We have to get those listeners.
Amazing. What do you say it's like?
His experience and the stories that he tells paint such a vivid picture of oppression and a culture that we're not familiar with and that we're completely locked out of.
Because they're so locked away from the rest of the world.
This is a culture that, according to this defector, doesn't even have a word for homosexuality. So this guy had to leave North Korea and live in, I think he fled to South Korea or China first. But it wasn't until he left that he realized there was a word for being gay. And then that made sense to him.
Imagine not being able to even describe how you were or what you were feeling. Like, there was just no acknowledgement, no word for it. That's so hard to get your head around.
Because there's no word for it, there's no law for it. And what I found really interesting in reading this on an Uber blog, actually, when one of the drivers was that there's no law against being gay. It's not illegal to be gay because there is no word for it. There's no concept for it, but there's an immorality to sleeping with someone of the same
gender. That's
great.
And you're like, oh, wait. And you like read further.
I mean, we are talking about a place where people genuinely believe that their supreme leader doesn't have a butthole. So Kim Jong-un doesn't have a butthole, doesn't poo,
is it because it's his
doesn't
face?
Fart. That's genuinely their belief, is that he's a religious...
When I was a kid, I thought girls couldn't fart.
I live in
and
Toorak.
And then my mum shocked me.
I live in Toorak, and no one in Toorak has a butt either.
That's very true. But Toorak and North Korea are very different in several ways.
They're similar in some ways. It's one of my favourite topics and things to think about because it's a microcosm. It's a thing that we can't really empathize with or speak with any authority because it's so alien from our existence. And it's a wake-up call as well. I love a good wake-up call or a check-your-privilege kind of feeling because you always have to remember your experience is yours alone and it's what you have. But there's a scale outside of you of people that are having completely differing experiences that none of us have a definitive matter of fact, this is how it is to be gay experience because there are people living there, thousands of people living out there that don't even have a word to describe their feelings. They have arranged marriages.
You can be executed for talking ill of the government. Like, that's a like, we're complaining about Tony Abbott eating onions and it's like, no, this is like serious fucked up government.
I think largely the commentary about North Korea is that from Australia and from my family and from my friends is, oh gee, it must be like a prison. Imagine living there, those poor people. And you're completely right, Luke, is that it's this scale of we have no idea what the day-to-day life really
is
like.
How do we say
it's like a prison? Like, that's such a sweeping statement to say that living there is like a prison. However, we have people that leave, like this guy, who talk about their experience of fleeing because I'm so, like, I'm actually oppressed. There's no word to describe how I feel about things, and leave. Like, that's their insights to what life is like.
Was he an older gentleman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, he did.
And also crazy. So, he got out in 1997, and not a single LGBTI identifying person has left since 1997.
There's one. There's this man.
Really?
No, but that was him, wasn't it? That left in 1997. Exactly. Yeah. So, no one since 97.
Did you see there was CCTV footage or whatever of two North Korean soldiers, like, making out or whatever?
And that,
like,
was quite recent. That was 2015 that happened.
And that was published by South Korean people on the border, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, South Korean.
But South Korea, it's not legal either, is it? It's sort of similar to Malaysia, where South they've got a gay scene, but technically it's not legal, and there's been...
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Not sure.
Because I think someone needs to Google that.
I'm correct. Don't go to the UN.
If being gay isn't legal in South Korea, that's crazy to believe, because I used to be obsessed with K-pop. And they are the campest motherfucking people.
There are a lot of countries.
They're like, their music videos and stuff, like, I am obsessed. Like, I love it. It's like they are stuck in the 90s and everything's amazing and I love it.
But there are a lot of countries where gay rights aren't at the forefront of everyone's mind. And it's one of those laws that's easier not to worry about if it doesn't have to, for politicians, so it doesn't get talked about. And that's probably why until 1997, homosexuality was legal in Tasmania, because people just weren't talking about it, kind of a thing. Like, it was like, oh yeah, we're not going to actually arrest someone for it, but technically it's not legal. There's a lot of countries, especially in our region, that have that kind of attitude. Yeah, we're not going to punish anyone for doing it, but...
like, turn a blind eye. Kind of like,
we're not going to debate it in Parliament, because that's going to polarise.
In South Korea, to clarify their laws, so currently there's no laws against being homosexual.
I misunderstood that. Yeah.
But that's really interestingly progressive to the point that transgender people are allowed to have sex change surgery or gender reassignment surgery and change their gender legally.
This is the thing: is like, it's such a different culture. I'm half Filipino, so I have a lot of family members in the Philippines, and I remember when I came out, it was socially more acceptable to my family for me to be a transgender sex worker.
What?
Than to be a gay male. That was the sort of discussion that was happening in the family at the time. It's like, oh, you can't just be gay. Can't you be a lady boy? Can't you be a lady boy? Because there's a level of status tied to that, and it's providing, and it's work, and it feeds into the family dynamic. In a lot of Filipino families, if you provide for the family, if you're doing a job, that is more important than, say, the Catholic sort of upbringing that I had. At least in my family, there were a lot of discussions that just being a gay man was kind of a rung lower. I was not propagating the family tree, example. But on the other hand, my sexuality didn't provide another source of income to provide for my family.
That's crazy.
So it was kind of like a lame dog situation, you know.
I thought I was unlucky because my family didn't want me to go into comedy, but that's really fucked.
Thank you for listening to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
You can follow us on Facebook, The Gays Are Revolting, or at Gays Revolting on Twitter and Instagram.
And a big thank you to non-twink Kyle for filling in for Mikey tonight.
That's the imposter.
I like to refer to him as Evil Kyle or Imposter Kyle.
I feel like Kyle and Kyle are going to hook up tonight. They've been going to each other's eyes. Yeah.
Jesus.
They're going to like each other's Instagram posts. It's going to be cute.
Don't forget to join our Facebook group as well.
Oh, yeah, Facebook group.
We post a lot in there about topics that we've discussed or things that we might discuss in the future.
And I just post ASL.
Yeah. And slide into our DMs, guys. Slide in.
We love all the mail that we get from you and your support, so thank you very much for that.
All right, and cool. Have a good night.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.